In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is in the midst of God.
In the Epistle to Galatians, the Apostle Paul is trying to make the case for his apostolic authority because he has a group, a Pharisaical group, a Judaizing group within the Christian church, which has gone to the Galatians and told those people that they would need to be circumcised and follow the various Jewish laws in order to be saved. And this is particularly frustrating for the Apostle Paul because he was a zealous Jew, and he was zealous for those very same laws. Now, maybe you remember the story of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, a Pharisee among Pharisees of the tribe of Benjamin, someone who went about persecuting the church, who held the garments as St. Stephen was stoned to death, who as he was on his way to on the road to Damascus, again to imprison Christians, was stricken by a vision and encountered Jesus Christ in this vision. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Jesus said. Jesus said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am Jesus." Saul's eyes were covered as if with scales, and he was led away blind. And then eventually to be baptized by Ananias. In the book of Acts, we read about this. And when he was baptized, the scales come off of his eyes. In today's gospel, Paul says the gospel that he received wasn't from men. It wasn't taught to him from another person. It was taught to him from the vision he had, from the experience he had. And it was this experience on the road to Damascus, and he goes on to say that he didn't confer with anyone, that he went away for 3 years and then only came back to confirm his gospel or to discuss, have a discussion with Peter, the chief of the apostles. And then secondarily, he mentions when he came back to Jerusalem that he also encountered James, who was not an apostle, but was the leader of the Jerusalem church. And in his apostolic authority, the main point he makes, though, is that the gospel is not from men. Now, we have to be reminded of this. There's a tendency in every day and age, including our day and age, to reduce the gospel in some way. And we do this by tying it to philosophical systems, by making it about good behavior, by making it an etiquette of good people do this and bad people do that. By tying the gospel, which is a prophetic message, a message that makes every single person uncomfortable because it calls them to die and rise with Christ, to die to themselves, to love their enemies. The gospel, which is always a prophetic voice to society, regardless of whether the society calls itself Christian or not. And if you want to prove that, read the history and read about those former generations we look back to and we say how Christian they were. Read about it. And you will see that often, more than not, if the gospel was followed, that the gospel would have been a prophetic voice to any day and age. It calls to repentance. It calls to transformation. It calls for our own death and our resurrection in Jesus Christ. And so, anyways, it can't be reduced. But it is by society. It can be reduced into a politic. It can be reduced into a voting block. It can be reduced into an ethic. It can be reduced into an intellectual argument, where at Starbucks we can sit around and argue how my version of the gospel as an Orthodox Christian is better than your Protestant version or your Catholic version. And all of these are intellectual, brain-oriented, speculative areas of the gospel. Theology that is not lived is not true theology. But the gospel that Paul talks about was one that was delivered from God. And here's the evidence that Paul presents without saying much about it being delivered from God. God took a persecutor of the church and he radically transformed him. Saul was no longer Saul. He became Paul. And even the Christians in Jerusalem 13 years later were aware of him and knew that he was a great persecutor of the church. But they glorified God because they had found out that he was now converted, preaching the gospel. He converted, which was a radical alteration of any ideology that he might have had. A radical alteration of any religiosity he might have had. A radical change in any etiquette or any idea of what constitutes a good, faithful servant of God and what constitutes someone who has fallen away. It turned his world upside down. And so individually and corporately, each one of us must always test the spirit that resides in our heart to see whether we've reduced the gospel, this prophetic message, this transformative message. And we can do this by asking ourselves whether we're being transformed by it, whether we've actually felt, experienced, or have in any way felt a connection or an encounter with Christ, something that would call us beyond a mere morality or ethic and call us into the divine life. All of this sounds very abstract at times, but it all comes down to that core of changing direction. And that is universal. It's very hard to understand why it would be. I can think of there's a few people here and oftentimes many people in congregations who are raised in the faith who have gone their whole lives living as a Christian and wonder as they have lived what they believe is the gospel, have gone to church, have gone to confession, have done all those things, have been good and moral people, could wonder why that's not enough, or to wonder why or if they're actually called to more than that. Well, according to the Apostle Paul, according to the scripture in our tradition, especially in the lives of the saints, we can be dead Christians and still be doing all the right things on the surface. We could be empty inside of the Holy Spirit and still be working through the various equations that the church presents to us behaviorally and otherwise. So it's always a good thing to ask every day and then throughout our life, regardless of where we ask, and where we are in our spiritual life or where we feel we are. And I include myself in this. I ask myself this. Jesus Christ, reveal yourself to me. Jesus Christ, show yourself to me. Show yourself as that divine inspiration that the Apostle Paul had. The gospel that was not taught by other men, or was not simply handed to me as a rumor from my parents. Show me that gospel which transforms my heart. Show me that relationship which challenges with a prophetic voice everything in our day and age. This is a prayer that I would ask you to ask, regardless of where you think you are spiritually, in some way every day. Because the depths of Christ are unlimited, and everything we know is as nothing compared to the voice of God, compared to the divine revelation which Paul and which many Christians in every generation have received. May God reveal himself to us in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst.
He is in our shadow.